Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
know what I want.
And I love what's the world.
Praise the Lord for this day, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad that he has granted us one more day to be in the land of the living. Just got some pictures from Pastor Gudis in India. And his grandson. This is Pastor Gudis, the father of Pastor Gudis, and his grandson. Pastor Gudis just had open heart surgery where he had a massive heart attack, had four arteries that was blocked, and they were managed to open them up. And glory to God, his grandson had intestinal problems, so they had to do intestinal surgery for him. And so, glory to God, we are watching him on the messenger, laying in the bed with the chest stitched up and on recovering. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for Pastor Gudis and for his grandson. Thank you for your mighty hand on the hands of the surgeons, leading them and guiding them through that awesome surgery. Father God, Yahweh, Yeshua, Yahuwah, we thank you, O God, for all that you have done, all that you're doing, all that we do. We ask, God, that you will grant them speedy recovery, strengthen them, especially Pastor Gudish, that he might go back in the field and preach the gospel with power and have a strong testimony how you have kept him in the midst of all he was faced in. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We can't praise you enough for all that you are doing, all that you will do, all that you have done. Oh, Father, we just bless your name. We pray today for this service that you would allow me to put this word on the Blog Talk Radio and get off and do whatever you have allowed me to do today. And we ask for traveling mercy as we travel to and fro this day and grant us the zeal to serve you by serving your people. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now we're talking about, this is part three of preparation before celebration. And, you know, we end off talking about Moses and Aaron going before, the last time I was in this message, going before Pharaoh and having a confrontation with Pharaoh. And matter of fact, you were asking Pharaoh to do something that he didn't want to do, you know, because even if he wanted to do, God had set his heart in a way that he would not adhere to their requests. In other words, they're asking for a release, but he is saying no release because God has said it that way, that he would have to release Israel by a strong and mighty hand of God, the great I Am. That's what he told Moses to tell the people he was. His name was I Am That I Am. He is the great I Am. Hallelujah. And he does all things in his way and in his time. Hallelujah. So now we're going to go into part three of this message. Now, we see that in chapter 7, that God had caused Aaron and Moses to turn all the waters, the lakes, the rivers, the ponds, even the faucets in the house that would drip, bring water when they turn on the faucets in the house, or you call it the spigot, their blood would come from them. And it would frighten Pharaoh, and all of his people would get scared because all of a sudden the water that was good to drink is no longer good to drink. It is turned to blood. Hallelujah. How many of you know how many people are going to drink blood? Bloody water. You want fresh, clean water, pure water. Well, Pharaoh, musicians try to do the same thing as Aaron and Moses. But, you know, whatever they do wouldn't last because they're counterfeit. And this is what the devil is. He copies everything that God does. You see, the scientists now today tell you that they want to, they're cloning people. They're cloning animals and they're cloning people because they want to do everything that God is doing. But there's good news and bad news because judgment is coming. And even for the people that don't believe that there is a God, they will see him as he is because they're going to see him as a judge. It is coming. It's on the way. It's on the way. He's giving them a foretaste of what is coming. Because you can see all the violence and the destruction that's in the earth, all over the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But here we're going to go into, let me just put this socks on my feet because it's a little chilly. Not chilly, it's cold. Hallelujah. So let me put some socks on. We're going into chapter 8 of the book of Exodus. And we're going to, not preaching, we're going to teach from there today. I don't know who this is calling me right now, but I don't think that that's not a friend of mine. It seems he's a telemarketer. Let me see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe that's a telemarketer, but I don't think that's my friend's number. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. We are praising God. Well, we are praising God for what he has done. Let me look here and see what her number looks like. No, that's a telemarker. So we just thanking the Lord of God of our salvation for what he is about to do. Here in the book of Exodus chapter 8, let me get both of these books here. Now he had already turned the whole place into blood. We see that he has turned the waters of Egypt into blood. And still that Pharaoh did not release the people. That's the first plague. Now they say that here in the United States and in the world, we are facing the fourth plague. Now they got another variant of the virus is in the atmosphere. They said somebody in California and somebody in Connecticut or somewhere has been diagnosed with having this plague, you know, the virus, this fourth virus. But there's six more that's coming because God always backs up everything that he done. You know, yesterday, today, and tomorrow is the same. It doesn't change. He's the same God. So here in chapter 8 of Exodus, we're just teaching. We're not preaching. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. See, God wants us to serve him. He wants us to worship him, to bow down and glorify him as the one and only true God, the great I am. You must understand that's God's objective, to have us as his people praise him. He said to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, God say this. I say this. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. Here, we see that Yahweh's second plague, the second plague of God for to Pharaoh and the Egyptians was frogs. Blood did not change them. But now how are you going to think when he put frogs upon the nations and people everywhere you go, if you're in your bed, the frogs are in the bed. You open your pot to make some coffee and the frogs are in the pot. You open your cupboards to get some cereal or something, some crackers, frogs are jumping out the cabinets. Open the ice box, the refrigerator. Frogs come out the refrigerator. This is what happened. Pharaoh was he was mesmerized. Because this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob, was so powerful. He was doing things that Pharaoh's magicians, witches, and warlocks have never seen before. The Bible says, this is here now, verse 2 says, and if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. This is what God is saying through Aaron and Moses to Pharaoh. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchambers and upon thy bed and upon the house of thy servants and upon thy people and into thine ovens and into thy kneeling troughs. That's the place where they roll the kneel, you call it roll or kneel, the flour or the wheat to make bread. It came out there, you put some flour and put some water and some raisins and stuff, and then you're going to make some bread, and all of a sudden it's frozen in the midst of the flour. You were blessed by God. Hallelujah. God is saying, I'm going to show you how powerful. Let Pharaoh say, my anointing, see my power, see who I really am. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the frog shall come upon both, come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. Now he did this, the same thing he did before, when he stretched his rod over everything, the ponds, the rivers, the lakes, and everything, and everything turned to blood. Hallelujah, glory to God. Even the troughs where the animals will drink water turned into blood. Hallelujah, glory to God. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Have a conversation with, ask the Lord. This is what he's saying to Moses and Aaron. Go and consult your God. Frogs are everywhere. Pharaoh's sitting down and frogs are there. Pharaoh goes to take up his book to read. Frogs are there. Wherever he go, there are frogs. Because God is causing this, his power to rain through upon this nation of Egypt. God is saying that he is going to test Pharaoh and let Pharaoh see how powerful, how anointed, how awesome he is. God is saying this. But he says at the same time, he says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, that Pharaoh would not let the people go. Sometimes we are questioning God, why this and why that. I'm dealing with pastors in India right now. I just got pictures early this morning on the messenger. Pastor Gudish, he went through his father. Pastor Gudish, he is a pastor, the one we deal with, and then his father is a pastor. And they've been attacking their body. Because God is not doing this, but God allowed this enemy to do things. And it would try, our faith will be tried, will be tested. We will be tested in the fire like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll be tested like Daniel and facing the lion's den. We'll be tested like Jonah. Are we going to go down to Nineveh? Hallelujah. Are we going to escape and go over to Tarshish? See, God allow us to be tested, tried. He don't test nobody, but he allow us to be tested. See if we're going to stand firm on the word of God, on the promises of God, of what God said he would do for us. Because people, we're living in the microwave time where people want to have what they want to have right now. They want it, and they want it like yesterday. They can't wait them, God. They say, can you pray for me to get a job? Can you pray for me to get a husband, get a wife? And they expect that somebody's going to show up right away. They expect that somebody's going to call them right away. And sometimes it does happen, but not all the time. You have to judge. God does things on his time, not on the preacher's time. He does it on his time. Even though the preacher's interceding for you, God does it on his time. We have to be patient. Stop pushing God. And the pastors went through the open heart surgery. He had four major arteries was blocked. They thought it was three. But when they got into his test, they realized that there was four. And they were able to open and remove the plaque. And sent me the pictures this morning early. And then his son had intestinal tract, which really messed up. So we prayed. We prayed and prayed, and he cried and we weeped. And this morning, sent me a picture with his son that laying there on the bed with two holes, two places where they went into his intestines and opened his intestine so to remove whatever was blocking the intestine so he could go to the bathroom freely and whatever. No more, no inflammation is into. God is a powerful, he's powerful, he's awesome, he's mighty, but we got to believe what God is saying and then wait on God. Sometimes he move right away, sometimes he just take a little time when he wants to. So here, now we see God has already sent blood, turned the whole of Egypt into blood. I mean, wherever they went to get water was blood. It was blood. Even in the palace, there was blood in the palace. It didn't matter where they went. The water had turned to blood because God has told Moses, tell Aaron to just stretch out the rod of God over. That represents the power of God, the presence of God, the anointing of God. That's what the rod represents. And when you stretch first that rod, things are going to happen. Glory to God. God said, you don't have a rod now in your hand, but you got a rod in your mouth. Stretch. Open your mouth and speak what God says. No, we got too much division in the house. And God said, no, we got to come together. The woman of God talked yesterday about unity. A lot of times we talk unity, but to live united is a different story. We have to unite as the body of Christ. We're not fighting against each other. We ought not, let God say that. I said we ought not be fighting against each other. We only got one enemy. His name is Satan, Diablo, the devil. Hallelujah. Lucifer. That's the only one enemy the church of God has, and that's Satan. Hallelujah. But we find it a lot because what the devil brings into the house of God is a spirit called jealousy. Out of envy, strife, it comes into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. And folks come in there and they say, well, he's the preacher, but I can preach better than him. She's the preacher, I can preach better than her. You know, and they have this conflict going on where he thinks that he this, she thinks she that. That's what the devil brings. And he drops it in the people of God's mind. Hallelujah. Because remember, Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And where are these strongholds? These strongholds are in the mind of the people of God. In your mind and my mind, it gets in here. He puts it in there as a little talk, as a little talk to bring division among the saints of God. So we can unite together so the power of God will flow through us. When Jesus told us in the book of Luke chapter 9 that he has given us power and authority, but we are not seeing this power and authority operating. Why? Because we are not united. What happened in the upper room? I'm just jumping out here because I'm hearing this stuff in my spirit. Well, what happened in the upper room? When they stay there, he tells them to go to Jerusalem and wait till they be endowed with power. Hallelujah. And that when they become endowed with power, he said there will be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria in the uttermost part of the world. But we have to wait. Why do they have to wait to become one, to be on one accord? And this is what God is still requiring us to do, we as the body of Christ, to be on one accord. Moses and Aaron is on one accord right now, working for the Lord in this book of Exodus. They're on one accord. God told Moses, and Moses told Aaron, and Aaron did what Moses said. God did what Moses said. Moses did what God said, and Aaron does what Moses said. They're on one accord. God's in one accord with Moses, on one accord with God, and Aaron is in one accord with Moses. We got to be on one accord. Now let's go through this. The scripture. I don't know how long I'm going to be here with you all today, but glory to God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Here, God is speaking so powerful. Aaron is hearing everything that God has spoken to Moses, and he's operating. Now he says, Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frost came up and covered the land of Egypt. This is the second plague. And the magicians did so with their enchantment and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. See, the magicians are trying to do the same thing by witchcraft, soothsaying, all this stuff that they're doing, all these potions and stuff that they're using and smoke stuff that they're using to conjure up the frogs. They're using satanic power. See, but Aaron and Moses using God power. God power, you don't have to do a whole lot of stuff. All you have to do is believe. That's all you got to do, have faith. So, and the magician did so with the enchantment and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. And I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, see, the magician, this is what you got to see in this verse, that Pharaoh magicians can conjure up frogs. They can even turn the water to blood like they did before, after Moses and Aaron turned the water to blood through the power of God. But they couldn't remove the blood, and they can't remove the frogs. Because Satan can't remove what God has done. Do you understand that? Satan cannot remove what God has done. What God permits, Satan cannot remit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here, he said he wanted to let them go. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. Where shall I entreat for thee? And for thy servants, and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, and that they may remain in the river only. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word. In other words, Moses is saying to Pharaoh, beg me, plead with me for what you want me to do to remove these frogs and where you want me to remove them. And Pharaoh is pleading. Tomorrow. And Moses says, be it unto thee according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. See, I like this too. Because even Moses is anointed and appointed and approved as he is by God, he turns this thing back to God. We got to realize that when God is using us to teach and preach and prophesy and pray for people, and God touches the people and heal them, that we turn the glory and the honor back to God. We don't try to take that stuff. They say, well, I'm a great preacher. I preach real good. Oh, I like what God used me over there on so-and-so stuff. We end up this and God do this. What about God? You should be grateful that God found favor in you to use you to go up this place and lay hands on the sick and they recover and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Boss, he can't do nothing on his own. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. All things, because I'm trusting him. I'm believing him to work through me. I'm believing him to take me places that I've never been before. I'm believing him to take me to places and people that need to hear his voice, that need to see him working through his servant. I'm believing him to do these things. I'm believing him to bless me financially so I can be a blessing financially. I'm believing these things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says, and the frogs shall depart from thee, verse 11, and from thy houses, and from thy servant, and from thy people, that they may remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stink. Oh my God, you can imagine them millions, thousands of millions of frogs that they got. Makes a big old heap. And the stench is all over Egypt. But at least the frogs wasn't running through the palace and running into coming out the food and out the ovens and all that kind of stuff. We able to open a door or something, the frogs would come out, jump out. Hallelujah, didn't have to deal with laying down the bed, the frogs were in the bed. Because God is that powerful. God is going to have his way. Don't care how you try or don't try, God is going to have his way. Nobody can control God. Nobody has a monopoly on God. Not you, not me, not none of us. Nobody has. Doesn't matter how well we preach or sing or dance or play the keyboard, but nobody has a monopoly on God. God is God all by himself. He does what he wants. If God chooses to use you to teach, preach, to prophesy, to lay hands on the sick and to recover, deem it an honor and a privilege that he chooses you. Because he can choose anybody he wants to. He had a donkey talk one time to get his point across. In Numbers chapter 22, God will do what he wants to do. Only he can do. Hallelujah, glory to God. So here, the Bible said that they gathered them up together and they sang. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. See, once you remove the stuff from the wicked, they go back into the same wicked mindset. God is already hard inside because God has a plan. We may never see God's plan. We may never know it till it manifested. We say, well, why is it taking so long? I had to tell the pastor in India. He said, daddy's doing real good. Daddy's doing good. I said, well, you still have to be patient. God's going to recover him. He's going to recover. He's getting through. He's coming through. He came through his surgery with flying colors. You know, let him heal. Let God heal him. Don't push him to you want it like yesterday. He just had
open heart surgery, he should be walking around. No. Let him lay. Let God heal him. God know what he's doing. So when he go back in the field, in the vineyard ministering the gospel, he'll be able to stand against the Sikhs and against the Hindus and all them, the Muslims, with strength and power. He wouldn't have to be timid when he's out there ministering, figuring that if somebody push him that he can, his surgery can burst, the stitches burst open. No, no, he can go there and preach me and knowing that God has completely healed him and make him even stronger than when he went into the hospital. I tell him that you got to trust God. Be patient. Don't try to push God because you're going to lose. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become life throughout all the land of Egypt. This is the third plague. You had blood. You had frogs. Now you have lice. Pharaoh still is not going to let the people go, because God is allowing him to see the manifestation of who he really is. Hallelujah. He already told Moses, tell the people that I am that I am. There's nothing greater than I am. No matter where you look, it's the greatest I am that I am. Just tell them that. They don't need to know anymore. Just tell them that I am sending you. Glory to God. Now he is showing off his power. He's showing off his power and his sovereignty before Pharaoh. Pharaoh men is coming, his magicians and his sorcerers is coming in there. They're using their staffs to do the same thing as Aaron and Moses, but they can't move what God does. Oh, my God, my God. See, when God set you up to preach and teach the gospel, many folk will come against you, but they can't move you. Because God set you up. They're coming with a spirit of satanic spirit trying to bring all type of stuff against you. All type of accusations against you to try to move you and bring people against you so your ministry don't grow. But they can't stop your ministry from growing, and they can't move you because God has established you. Do you hear what I'm saying? When God has established you, nobody can move you. Doesn't matter. You know the sound that people say, if God before you, who can be against you? Well, that's the truth. It's the truth. People are going to try to be against you, but they can't move you. When you know that you know that you know that you are God's servant, that you are God's ambassador, that you are God's person, nobody can move. They're going to come against you anyway. They come against Jesus. Jesus came down here as God in the flesh. And the very people that walk with him even come against him. And my old Peter said, I don't know that man. And Peter began to cuss. Peter said, I don't know him. And y'all lady said, weren't you one of them, one of the sons that was following him? He said, and I don't know the Bible. I don't tell what words it say. He cussed. He blessed and cussed. And Peter said, I don't know him. Don't line me up with him. Don't accuse me for walking with him. I went with him. I don't know him. Even the folk with you would deny you. But you're still standing because you have an assignment. And once you know your assignment is of God, you don't have to be worried who be with you or who don't be with you. You stand on your flat footed. Satan's going to come against you because of the anointing that you're carrying inside of your vessel. Hallelujah. And when you know that you got the anointing, you can stand. You don't need a lot of people to release the anointing. Just two or three. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I had a preacher call, was talking to me yesterday. Said, preach, apostle, don't worry about people. He said, look, you're called by God. You see where your life you used to live? You couldn't get out the life unless God had chosen to bring you out. And that's the truth. Because I'm the only one, maybe two more other people living that was in my circle. Maybe two more. Do you hear what I'm saying? And there was a whole bunch of us running the streets of Washington, D.C., Washington metropolitan area. Whole bunch of us doing all kind of crazy stuff. And maybe two more, if that much, beside myself that's still alive. God brought us out. Brought me out. Hallelujah. The Bible said that. And it said, it told Aaron and Moses said what to do. To smite the dust of the land, that it may become life throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became life in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? He told Abraham, he said, count the stars. Look at the stars. Can you count the stars? Count the sand. Can you count the sand on the seashore? He said, well, I will make you father of nations, many nations, the nations that you can't count, can't number. Glory to God. So look at this. If all the sand of Egypt, I mean the desert land, is turned, my God, it's going to be like smoke, like a cloud. I mean, little old lice everywhere. Millions of billions of trillions of lice everywhere. I mean, you can't even see your skin. I mean, you got to keep something over your face, over your nostrils, over your ears. Can you picture that? Even your eyes. I think that way the Muslims got that thing covering their face now. Because they had to cover themselves up from the lice. Lice everywhere. That's the third plague. We're facing the first plague, the fourth plague now in America. But we got six more coming. God don't fail. He don't fail the program. He said, and the magician did so with this enchantments to bring forth lice. But they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beasts. But then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And said unto him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Now I want you to know that God knows everything. He is the omnipotent God, the omniscient God, the omnipresent God. He is the all-seeing, the all-knowing, the all-powerful God. He knows everything. He sets the stars where they should be, the moon where they should be, the sun where it should be. He placed the water exactly where it should be and the land where it should be. He knows everything. Hallelujah. He put in mind what he wanted to be in man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he gave man a wife that he knew that man needed. Because he says, it's not good that man should be alone. God knows everything. But now today we are facing a world. Hallelujah. A society. That they want to make their own plan. And they want to think that they can outplan God. If God wants a woman and a man, we'll get a man and a man. We'll get a woman and a woman. We are our own women. We're our own men. We can do what we want. But the time coming where you're going to have to give an answer for making the choices that you made. God allowed you to make that choice because he didn't make us robots. He gave us a will, which is the same thing as a choice, that we can choose if we want to live and honor his way or live and honor our own way, make our own way. Governments are deciding what should be and what should not be. And it doesn't line up with God's word. Hallelujah. But they have to give an account for it. No, let's try to finish this, get this done to where we want to go and where we to God. Time is going. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus. Ah, bless your name, Jesus. Verse 21 says, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and upon thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. It's me. God is not playing. God is not playing. And all that God is doing and God is allowing to go take place, God is giving us the opportunity to come back to him and repent. Very hard. One of the hardest things for people to do is repent. They tell you they're sorry. But they're not really sorry because if they're sorry, they wouldn't do it again. They come back and do the same exact thing. They come and do the same exact thing. What can you do? You forgive and you forget. Continue. Man will continue to do what man is doing until he have an encounter with God. When man has an encounter with God, he will change one way or another. But until he has an encounter with God, man would always keep doing what he wants to do, working, trying to do his own thing, be his own God. The Bible says that. They become lovers of themselves, doing their own thing. They way. They say, my way or the highway. I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou must know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Now God said, now you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to protect my people. If you consider yourself a child of God, you're under the protection of God. It doesn't matter what's going on around you, what's happening in your neighborhood, in your city. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you're protected by God. You got folk today. You got folk today that are despondent. They are scared to even go to their house. They say they're saved and sanctified. And they're scared because they say, well, you got the variant virus. You got this virus. You got that virus. And now we're going into flu season. And all this stuff going to be coming down. And they're afraid. They don't want to go and minister. They don't want to evangelize the gospel that God has impregnated us with. They don't want to tell nobody about Jesus. Hallelujah. I told about the young man I work with. And he said that the pastor had this, he and his wife. And he left the church, never been back to the church since then. Years upon years. May have been there to somebody's funeral, but he never been back to a church to serve God. But through blog talk, radio, listening to people preaching, different ministers preaching, his heart has been drawn to want to turn on his cell phone to hear the word of God now. Folk don't want to go out. Don't even want to share the word of God. They're telling that a Christian. They're telling that a believer. They call up each other on the phone and talk. And sometimes they talk about people. Gossip. Instead of talking God's word to strengthen each other in this time that we are living in, we need to strengthen each other. When I call you up, I ain't calling you up to gossip with John Brown or Peter James or another brother. I call you because I need to strengthen, to be strengthened. I need, you possibly need to be strengthened because none of us will get to the place that we can say we're secure. We ought to call up each other just to pray. Let's talk about a quick scripture that God showed me. I've seen one this morning. You may have seen one. Let me just tell you about the scripture. And then when I hear it, it jumpstart my heart to another place because there's life in the word of God. There's life in that word. There's a spirit on the word of God that gives you life. That's what the Bible says. The letter killeth, but the spirit gives you life. And when that spirit is on the word and you hear the preacher say, man, Apostle, you know, I was just reading yesterday, man, and I was reading this morning, and I saw this word, and glory to God. I tell God. So, and you would get excited. Sister called me yesterday and was telling me about, she said, I was in Luke chapter 10. She said, two times, she said, the Lord showed me this word, this book. And I said, I got distracted. The woman of God said, she said, I got distracted. And I started doing something. And while she was talking, I was on my computer, because my computer was acting up. I had to get some new stuff. And I was on my computer, and I went to Luke. Because it's faster than turning the pages of the King James or any Bible. Because you're on the computer, boom, 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 and it's right there. And I began to follow her. She was talking about what God had shown her in the book of Luke. And then I became energized because I began to see what she was saying, what God had shown her. My God, we didn't get on the phone and say, well, you know, brother so-and-so, he don't act right. And sister so-and-so, I don't know what she did. We didn't do none of that stuff. We was in the word of God. He's in the word of God. Hallelujah. The woman ended up telling me, she said, no, Apostle, no, when I get it. My things is right. And I got some of this work that I'm doing. She said, I'm going to come on Blog Talk really and bring a word. And bring a word for the church. I said, well, praise God, because you know the doors are always open over here. We are open for all of God's people. Hallelujah. To come and feed God's people. Hallelujah. So that's what we should be doing. But here. So fear is denying the release of God's people. But God's saying, don't matter. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm hardening his heart. But at the same time, I'm putting a hedge around the area where my people is. I'm putting a hedge of protection that the flies wouldn't be able to come and contaminate their food and contaminate their dwelling place. He said, I'm protecting them. Do you understand that all this virus that's going on? Man, I'm out there working. Sometimes I'm working and it's the installation and stuff. I keep one or two masks inside my pocket. And I put on a mask. But one time I didn't have no mask on. And the installation got in my nose, man. And I mean, I was bad too. I was coughing because the stuff sometimes slipped down the tube and go to your lungs. So I had to cough and get that stuff up. And when I get home, the stuff was coming out in the sink. And I was saying, why didn't you put your mask and keep your mask? You know that installation, that fine stuff of getting your lungs and getting your esophagus? God said, I'm protecting you. So you don't have to deal with the flies and the frogs and the blood and all this stuff and the lice and stuff. That's the fourth. Do you understand? He gives them the blood. He gives them the frogs. He gives them the lice. And they give them the frogs. I mean, the flies. There's some more coming because God is hardening Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's not going to get the opportunity to say, well, I did this for God's people. Do you know that you're going through some things, you're saying, well, why God don't do it? God is not going to let you run off and say, well, you know, I went down the road and I did, and it's happened. No, you're going to have to say, well, you know, I was so sick. I was so sick. And I tell you, I didn't think I was going to make it. But as I was praying, God touched my body. As the preacher was praying for me, God touched my body. God wants to hear you. I hear you come out of your place. Come out of that place where you are and give him the glory. We're too busy trying to puff ourselves up that we are that. And then we don't want to go to the house and fellowship. Why? Because we think we arrive. And we find an occasion to blaspheme or cuss out the pastor and dung the pastor because the pastor did this wrong. Then do it the way you think it should do. But you don't consult God and say what the pastor's doing, what God instructs the pastor to do. If it lines up with the word, if it don't line up with the word, we know God is not in it. God is not in no jump. He's not in no jump. Believe what I'm telling you. And you know, a lot of times we don't want to be corrected. Hallelujah. We want to be right. We don't want to be corrected. Hallelujah. Listen to what it says. I got to get through this here. Please bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God says in verse 23, he said, I will put a division between my people and thy people tomorrow. He said, tomorrow shall this time be. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies unto the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Everything was messed up. Because God is still in control. Even though that Pharaoh acting like he got some power, God is in control. God is all powerful because God can do what Pharaoh can't do. Pharaoh's making some stuff, but his stuff is not real. His stuff is a counterfeit. When he send the frogs and send the flies and turn the blood and all this stuff, it's counterfeit. Because you see, hey, man, this stuff just dissolves. It can't stand. God's stuff is just standing. That's why Pharaoh got to send Moses and Aaron back to God to plead to God to remove the stuff. His magician can't remove it. Moses put down the rod, and the rod eat up his snakes. Because God's stuff is more powerful. When you're walking on the anointing, you have the power of God on the inside of you that's working. That's why he can say, you are of God, little children, for great is he that's in. He said, see, you are of God. Let me get the scripture right. You are of God, little children, because you have overcome them. Why? He said, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's the whole scripture. 1 John 4:4. See, when you recognize that you are of God, you'll know that you overcome. You know you have already overcome. You don't have to see. You're not seeking to overcome. I overcome because I'm of God. God has anointed me. God has appointed me. God has approved me. God has drawn me out of the darkness into his marvelous light. God has drawn you out. You got to know this. When you know this inside of your heart, then you're not disturbed by what people are saying and doing. You're not disturbed. And if you happen to get disturbed, it don't last. It can't last. Because the light in you are greater than the darkness that's coming against you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The light that's in you is greater than the darkness that's coming against you. Hallelujah. So when you stand, knowing that you are in the light, you have victory. You have victory. I'm not going to get past this chapter 8 today because I'm not going to go too long. I just want to get this in there. Next time I come back, the Lord say the same. I'll come back at chapter 9. I'm not going to stay too long today. I see the Holy Ghost saying this. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, verse 25. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us? You can't give God a thing that's impure. God wants a clean, pure sacrifice that will be holy and acceptable unto him. Hallelujah. We can't take anything, any old thing, and bring to God. People want to give God the leftovers.
What are you doing there, honey? You look like a bag lady, man.
Holding my pants up.
I got a belt that you can use.
Belt doesn't work.
The white belt.
This is fine.
Oh, glory to God. So, Moses said, we're not going to take any old thing before God. You remember Cain and Abel? Can't kill Abel because there were two different sacrifices. You can't give God any old thing. Some folks say, well, you know, I'm not going to pay tithes. I can't afford to pay tithes or give offering. I got to pay my car note. I got to put food in the fridge. I saw some new shoes, a new wig. I want to go to the next salon. You know what they say? They want to do all these things, and then when whatever left over, then they say, well, I'll give this to the church. God don't want leftovers. Suppose God treat us that way, with a leftover mindset, and give us leftovers. You say, Lord, I want to get a home, Lord. I want to get a new car, Lord. I want to be able to have food on the table for my family members around Christmas time, around holidays, or whatever. And God said, no. Go down to the place and go in the trash can and dig in the trash can. How will you feel? How were you like when you were in the hospital or somewhere in the, let's use the hospital, yes, and you're going through some serious malfunction in your body, let's use that word, in your body, and you need God to correct some things that doctors can't correct. And God said, no, because every time you give me the leftover, well, how will you feel? I'm sure you will feel bad. You call upon God and God not answering. But we'll take the leftovers when we know that we're supposed to give 10% and plus over above the 10%, we have to give an offering. We don't think about giving God 10% every week. Every week. When we feel like giving him an offering or giving him tithe, we give him tithe. That's when we feel like. When we feel like, we give him leftovers. I tell you the truth. A lot of people do that. You'll be amazed how many people pay the car note first. I'm not telling them to pay your car note. But I'm telling you that when you give to God, what belongs to God, that God, in his majestic, sovereign way, opened doors for you to be able to take care of all of your problems. I see him do it to me all the time. We retired. Where you going now, honey?
I'm going to Sean's and then to my mother.
Okay.
To get her some blood and a prescription.
Okay. Now let me get back in the word. Well, get me there. So here in this word, this word here, this scripture here blessed my heart this morning as I was looking at it. To see how, because, you know, we a lot of time we talk about God protecting us and stuff like that. But you look and you see millions and millions and millions of flies. Because if you say like the sand in the land of Egypt, you're talking about looking at the desert. Egypt is desert land. And, I mean, sand everywhere. And he said the flies like sand. All the sand of the land of Egypt is turned to flies. That's what God said. And the people can't get away from them. Wherever you're going, the flies are. Flies all over your body. You can't even see where you're going because the flies. The flies are like a cloud. But God says he will put division or he will put a wall between the people of Egypt and the Israelites. It's like a hedge. The flies can't come through it. God is protecting us. We don't see it that way. People saying, I hear preachers say, I ain't going no way. I ain't going to the church because I'm worried about the virus. Well, how you going to go to heaven? How you going to ever go to heaven if you don't die? The very thing that you're afraid of is the thing that's going to take you out. The very thing you're afraid of is the thing going to take you out. I'm not saying don't use common sense. Use common sense. Hallelujah. But don't become so afraid that you can't worship God and you can't fellowship. We're supposed to come together. Listen, let me finish this thing here. I'll be able to go to the store and go on by her mother. Sarah! Moses, Aaron said, we will go 3 days journey into the wilderness, verse 27, and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and he shall command us. And Sarah said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away and treat for me. Talk to God for him. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow, but let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully again anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. I'm telling you something here. Moses know that Pharaoh got a forked tongue. You know a lot of people like that. They got forked tongue. Say one thing and do something else. Moses says, surely you must, Pharaoh said to him, surely you must not go far. You can go out and sacrifice to your God, but I want to be able to see you. How far you are from the distance. Don't go too far. Pharaoh again seeks a compromise. He will allow the Israelites to go into the wilderness, but not far from Egypt. He also requests that Moses pray to God to halt the plague. Do you understand? The devil always wants you to do something, always wants you to make a compromise when it comes to you and him and God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't let the devil call you to compromise. Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat, I will pray to the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh be deceitful.
Sarah has this thing inside of him. It's there. And it's not. God don't have to do too much to crank it up. Because when deception is in your heart, it will come forth easy. It don't, you don't have to do a whole bunch of stuff. When you know a person don't truly have the love of God in their heart for other people, quick, they can hit easy. That's why they tell you. They tell you stuff like, I forgive you, but I ain't gonna forget what you did to me. And as soon as you make the slightest error, they put it in your face. They put it in your face what you've done. That's why the farther you start from folk like that, the better you will be. The stronger you will become. Listen, listen, listen. Glory to God. Verse 30. Verse 30. In verse 29, Moses told Pharaoh, let not Pharaoh again deceive. Moses warned Pharaoh to keep his pledge. Pharaoh must not be deceptive, unlike before. Pharaoh had this thing of saying one thing, but doing something else, like most of us do from time to time. We say one thing, open our mouth and say one thing, but our action does not line up with our words. And we ought to allow our words and our actions to line up. If I say I'm saved and sanctified, I ought to walk in a sanctified anointing. I ought to treat people with love and compassion and mercy and grace. I ought to keep what I hear to myself and not spread gossip. I ought to not gang up with my sister or my brother against my sister or my brother. I ought not do that. I had a woman of God that called me and talked to me. I tell you, I have a lot of respect for this woman. I mean, lot of respect for this woman. You know, lot of respect. Love the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, love the Lord. Oh, you know, I love people who love the Lord. Glory to God. Love. Whenever that woman, that lady called me, always just filled my heart. When she called me, she always talked about Jesus. Always talk about how far she is endeavoring to go to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, what a blessing, what a blessing. You know, you don't find too many people like that today. And don't ever call and say, well, Apostle, let me tell you what this body say. Let me tell you what this body's doing. I hear preachers say when a person bring a bone, they'll carry a bone. And that's a true saying. It's a true saying. And, you know, some cliches, but it's true. If a dog bring a bone, he'll carry a bone. So you have to be very careful when people come in and point in your face and tell where, you know, so-and-so say this, so-and-so say that. Listen, the same person going to leave you and going to go to tell somebody. You know, we're talking to Bishop so-and-so, we're talking to Pastor so-and-so, Pastor so-and-so, and they say so-and-so. That's the same person that just came and tell you that this body says this and that body says stuff. I don't have time for that foolishness. I tell you the truth, Pastor, Apostle, Bishop Lincoln, I don't have time for that. Because I always tell people my time, my days here on earth is drawing close. It's drawing close. Hallelujah. I just was looking at Daystar, and I saw that my Marcus Lamb, young man, born in 1957, and died just 2 days ago. You know, he had diabetes, and then he got the virus. Went in the hospital, said, didn't even have to put him on oxygen, said he was breathing good, but he got bronchitis, pneumonia, we call it, and he died. You know, he's a younger man than I am. And I said to myself, I said, Lord, I thank you. that in through all the stuff that I've been through, that you're keeping me. You know, you got to praise God. I ain't got time, Apostle, Bishop. I don't have time to go in with no gossip and a whole bunch of foolishness. I ain't got time with that. I put this stuff on here, and I send it out in the world. And whatever people want to deal with it, I let them do with it. You know, I just put it on. I put it on Facebook, and let it go. And then people call me. They call us and say, well, they want prayer, they want this, or want that. And I pray to God. If you want prayer, I pray for you. You know, some people say, well, can you pray for me? I said, they're expecting me to say, well, I'll pray for you tomorrow, next week. I said, no, I'll pray for you right now. Because I don't know if I'm going to be here next week. I don't have a monopoly on life. But I know one thing for sure, that while I'm here in the land of the living, that my life is going to glorify God. I know this for a fact. It's going to glorify God. I may not get it right. I may not get it right all the time, but I'm endeavoring to try every day, every second of the day to get it right. And when I come up short, I'm going to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me because I was trying to get this thing done right. And I still get upset like any person that got flesh and blood. You may say you don't get upset, and I don't believe you, because all of us get upset from time to time. All of us are disturbed in our spirit, in our flesh from time to time. People say things, do things, act out things, and disturb your spirit, your flesh. And you have to struggle with your spirit, man, to bring the flesh under subjection so you don't act out a fool. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible said Jesus went into the temple, and he was so upset, he turned over the tables. He turned the tables upside down. And then he told the people, look, you make my father's house a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. He was upset. He was angry. I mean, he wasn't doing that like he was turning a candlestick. He was playing that stuff. He wound up some rope, twisted some rope together, and started whipping people. You think he was smiling? He was angry with how they were treating his father's house. And then sometimes when people say stuff, I say you say stuff or do stuff, it will make you angry too. It will make you angry. That don't mean that you're going down the street and cussing somebody out or going to take up something and hurt somebody, but you get angry. In your flesh, you get angry because you didn't expect that person to carry something or do something that you didn't release them to do. You know, a woman asked, a lady called me this morning, she said, well, Apostle, I need Apostle Stewart information. I said, well, I can give his telephone number. I don't think he'd be mad because he asked for your information, and I'm sending your information to Pastor Joyce. You know, but if he didn't ask that, I wouldn't have given her his number. I wouldn't have given her his number, send all the information to Pastor Joyce. You know, you got to use common sense, man, because the devil used a lot of little things. I'm saying this because I heard some stuff the other day, okay? The devil uses a lot of little things. He's smart. The Bible says he's cunning. He's subtle. He uses a lot of little things to distract us, to delay us, and to divide us. I want you to hear this because somebody out there in Africa, India, China, Pakistan, Afghanistan, I know, Amsterdam, even right here in America may need to hear what I'm saying right now. Satan, Diablo. The devil, the algebra, whatever name you want to call him, he used a lot of little tricks, techniques, if you want to call them, to divide the body of Christ. Because, see, he can't touch you. He can't touch us, but he can implant a thought. A thought is like a seed, and once that seed then is planted, then it germinates and if you let it stay there, it'll come up to a big tree and cause problems. I'm using this analogy. That's why you have to shut down certain things when people come, because if somebody come and say, "Well, the pastor, you know, I think Pastor Stewart going to do this thing," I said, "Well, why are you telling me? Is he going to do it? He know that I should be there. He going to invite me. I don't have to worry about that. So don't come and tell me that stuff because you want to make me think that the apostle is doing something behind my back. No, don't do that. Don't do that because I'm not going to receive it. You know, I'm not going to receive it. So you have to shut that stuff down because that is stupidity. And a lot of people do that in the book. The enemy uses that. Let me just tell you that. Glory to God. You know, when Thomas says to the disciples that were in the room and Jesus had was resurrected from the tomb, and only a few of them saw him when they were on the way to Emmaus. But the ones at the tomb that didn't see him, they went back and said to the disciples, said, look, man, look, he's resurrected. And the ones that saw him, they said, we met him. We talked to him. And he opened our intellect. We didn't know how to move when he opened our intellect. Yes, you people have been saying it a lot in the church. They know how to move when we heard the word. We say that a lot. But this is what they said when they were talking to each other in the room. And Thomas says, unless I see the nail print, and unless I put my finger in the hole in the side, I will not believe. Jesus showed up. Sometimes you got to shut down some folk and say, unless I hear it for myself, I'm not going to believe it. Depends on what it's saying. You know what I'm saying? If it's out of the word of God, you got to go with it. But if it's not in the word of God, my pastor said, son, if it's not in the word, don't tell me. My pastor taught me that back in Virginia. He said, if it's not in the word of God, he said, don't tell me. He said, because I don't want no gossip. So if somebody said it, no, he said, don't say it. Don't say it, son, don't say it. He said, don't say it. He says, but if it's in the word, oh, he said, I'll sit down and listen to you. You can tell me. And a lot of folk, they start stuff. They don't know. Some of the folk don't realize that how the devil, Satan, is using them. And you gotta excuse them. Satan is smart. I said, he's smart. Here in this text, we almost finished here. We are just about finished here. Here, Moses says something here very, very powerful here in this 29th verse of Exodus chapter 8. Moses said, behold, I go out from thee. I'm leaving your presence, Pharaoh. I will pray to the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from you, Pharaoh, and from your service and from his people, your people, tomorrow. So tomorrow this is going to happen. But let Pharaoh, don't be deceitful like you were before. Because I know this is part of your MO. This is who you are. You're very deceitful. So don't be deceitful again, Pharaoh. I'm going to go talk to my God on your behalf that this life may leave. And Moses went out from Pharaoh's and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, not Pharaoh, but according to the word of his servant. And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people. There remained not one fly out of millions of trillions of flies, the billions of flies. Not one fly remained. God listened to us. He hears us. If what we are saying to God lines up with the application that he has placed before us, or I like to say the blueprint that he has given to us, if what we are saying to God, related to God, lines up with this manuscript, God hears us and God answers. And God will move on his time. Then God moved every fly, not one fly remained. Because Moses prayed, entreated him on the behalf of the enemy of God. Do you know you can pray for the enemy of God, for God to change their heart? And as you get through this text, going through this text, you'll see that God's going to change the heart of Pharaoh. Moses is gone. 10 times Moses is going to Pharaoh. 10 times. 9 times Pharaoh denied Moses and Aaron, but the 10th time, you'll see it. Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. We're going to chapter 9 the next time we come back. Hallelujah. This is one of the books that every believer of Jesus Christ ought to study this book. It will give us the incentive to really, really trust Jesus Christ, trust in our Savior. In the midst of all that we are facing, trust him. What the doctor say, what the magistrate say, what the judge say, what your lawyer said, trust him. I remember when my son was facing 22 years for a little bit of marijuana. 25 years. Because they called him a second time user or seller of marijuana. You know, marijuana in Virginia is a very harsh thing to have. Here in Boston, people are smoking like nonstop. Like, he was just telling me, she was in the store. She went into CVS, and a man came behind her. And Lord, she said she was getting high. She had to shift herself. And then she went down an aisle to get some stuff, some type of stuff she was trying to buy from the drugstore. And the man had went down the same aisle before her, and he was leaving a smell. The smell of marijuana was so... The whole line was saturated with marijuana. What are we saying? God is saying to us today that we can trust him. God has saturated you and I, us, with his presence. Trust him. What God said he's going to do for us, he's already put in motion. He has already put in motion for us. You hear what I'm saying? He's already put in motion. Don't you give up on God and say, this didn't work for me, this can't work for me. No. Don't you give up. You know, I went over and straight up someplace on the job, and the guy, he was a little nervous. He's a union rep. And I said, man, don't worry about this. Everything here is done to code. We're going to get inspection. He didn't believe we were going to get inspection. I said, he called me yesterday. He said, the inspector went and we passed inspection. I said, well, I told you that already. Everything is done to code. When you do it to code, listen to me. When you do it according to God's way, you don't have to worry. If you are doing it according to God's way, why are you going to sit around and worry? I don't know if it's going to work for me. I don't know if it's... No, don't sit around and worry. When you're doing it God's way, you don't have to worry. Don't have to worry. All of us, every single one of us, I say this, and I say it again, I say it, tell he take me over this line. Every one of us make mistakes. Every one of us. Not one person that I know. I've been married for 43 years. My wife still make mistakes. Oh, God. She would tell you I make mistakes, you know. And I do. And sometimes I got to go back and say, honey, you know, I'm so sorry. I said this, I did this, I said, I'm sorry. Why? Because I know I mess up. Uh-huh. You ain't perfect, and I ain't perfect. None of us are. And that's why we have to watch, because Satan, he's cunning. And I say that a million times. Satan is cunning. That means he is smart. He is a trickster. Understand? And Satan will put stuff in your mind, make you say stuff, do stuff that you know you shouldn't do. I've done it before. I said, what? I said, why the deal is I'm doing this stuff? But I don't see that it's Satan who make me do this. You know, I said, my God, I can't do this stuff no more. Yeah. That's a condition out of God. You got to see that old slew foot. You know, people getting so much stuff because of allow that Satan to come on in. Man, you ought to say this. You ought to say that. No. Say Satan, no. I'm not saying that because that's not what God wants me to say. Got to shut him down. You got to shut him down. So, Father God, we thank you and praise you, God, for the word that you have given us today. You allow us to see, and hear your voice through this word. And we pray, God, that even right now, Lord God, that you speak. You speak to the people near and far that would hear this message when we post it, and those that would be able to come on and hear it today. Speak to their hearts. Speak to our hearts, Lord, that we get into that mindset of trusting and depending and relying on you, Lord. Lord, that we don't lean to our own understanding, oh God, but that in all our ways we continue to acknowledge you
and allow you to direct our path, O God. Father Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We praise you for your omnipotent presence. We praise you for your omnipresence. Jesus, we ask you to continue to lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord, we ask you to build up in us those things that are falling short. Build them up, Lord. Lord, that the world will know that we are truly your disciples. And Lord, when we come short, we ask you to strengthen us. And we know we come short many times, Lord. Lord, and we are not trying to say we can fix it on our own. If we could, we would have fixed everything on our own a long time ago. But we trust in you and depending on you to help us to be that servant that you call us to be, that child of God that you call us to be. And as you help us, Lord, somebody else will come and say, what must I do to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Somebody would say that because they see the Jesus in us. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this opportunity now to just reach out and touch him, just like the woman with the issue of blood. Just take this opportunity. Don't look at where you are, but look at where you could be. You know, a lot of time we allow where we are to hinder us from being where we could be. So if you're there, like I was, and you're feeling empty, don't understand what's going on in your life right now, you need a Savior. That tells you right there you need a Savior. You are lost in the corridors, the crevices of this world, and you need Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L. That means you and me. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So how do we get back? How do we get back in line with God? The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But how do we get this gift? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is so important that you recognize that it's Jesus, the one who died on Calvary, the one who gave his life, the one who gave his life as a sacrifice. He didn't have to, but he gave his life anyway. He laid down his life. Nobody was able to take his life because he was God in the flesh. But he came to this earth for that very reason. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which is lost. You were lost, I was lost. We were lost in sin. And if not for Christ Jesus, we would still be lost doing the things of the world, acting a fool just like the world expects us to act. You hear what I say? So right where you are, the Bible says that God sent his son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Bible also says in the book of John, we're in John chapter 3, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They're talking about sin. Okay, darkness refers to sin. Men, women, boys and girls love darkness rather than light because their deeds. You see today how the young girls today are so full of sickness in their stomach, cold in their stomach, or the windy little short. I don't know the name. My granddaughter called her name some kind of top. Got a funny name. But they're wearing these tops with all their belly exposed. Even in the fall. This is fall weather. It's cold. And they got these tops with their belly exposed. And then you hear that they're suffering with all of these abdominal pain and sickness and stuff. Why? Because they're not wearing the clothes that they're required to wear. They're not dressing appropriately. Hallelujah. And then you have them drinking all this stuff. Now, I thank God my granddaughter don't drink. She don't smoke. And I pray that she stay that way and don't ever start to drink wine and stuff. You know, they start with that wine stuff. They will have a little wine with your dinner and stuff like that. And then next thing you know, they're drinking hard liquor. And then they're drinking. They smoke a little marijuana. Then next thing you know, they're smoking cocaine and heroin, all that stuff. Thank God that God has allowed her to see some things in us and with us. And she don't never want to go that path. I just thank God. I pray God continue not only her, but all the young people, you know, that connected to a Christian family, that they would yield, they would continue to yield to Christ Jesus and allow God to lead and guide them. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, according to the book of Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter tells us, you don't know him. The first thing you want to do, if you don't know the Savior as your Lord and Savior, the first thing you want to do is repent. And what repent means is just very simple. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Repent means that you must turn away or stop doing what you used to be doing. Now, the lifestyle you were living, you want to stop living that type of lifestyle, the lifestyle that's contrary to God's way, you know. And sometimes it feels like it's so easy. And it's very easy to sin, you know, because sin is very enticing. You know, it's just so easy, you know, for you to do something that make you feel good. It make you feel good. You know, if you say, I'm just going down to the club, and next thing you know, they're drinking, they're smoking, they're doing all this stuff. Next thing you know, they're in a bad, they're in a severe accident fighting for their life. Sin will do that. Sin will put you on that place where you got to fight for your life. You know, because once you start to let that sin come in, that I talk about the seed of sin, and that seed coming in is planted in your mind, and you don't cast it down quick, like Paul says. Cast down every thought and imagination, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of God. If you don't do that, what happens is that sin will come alive inside of you and have you activated. Because sin wants to be activated. Sin don't want to just be dormant. I want you to know that sin don't want to be dormant. Sin wants to be activated in your life and in my life. You hear what I'm saying? So that sin have control. Sin wants to have control over your life. But when you make a decision, like we're talking about today, to let go and let God, sin will have no dominion over you, and you'll begin to walk in that supernatural victory. Hallelujah. Where you are victorious. When you become victorious, Satan is defeated. Hallelujah. So Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So God calling people. God is calling people into that place of repentance for the remission of sin. He's calling them. Nobody can come except he called them. That's why we got to preach this message that people understand. We got to teach it, break it down to let them know that God is the only way. There's no other way. You can try any other way you want to, but there's only one way. That way is Jesus. Only one way. Jesus. You can try every other way you want to. You're going to come back to see that it's Jesus. You can't come in no other way. If you try it any other way, you are a thief and a robber, and the truth is not in you. You got to come in through Jesus. Hallelujah. You got to commit to Christ Jesus, to the ordinance of Jesus Christ. He said that everyone that's afar off he called. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common. So we got to have that one heart. In Acts 4:6.
verses 9. He said, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Listen. Say, we're preaching this gospel, and we're teaching this gospel. Hallelujah. But it's not us not working. It's Jesus doing the work. We're just preaching. We are just messengers. He's the one that drawing people. He's the one that healing people. He's the one that delivering people. He's the one
Amen.
That's saving people and washing them and making them clean with his blood. Jesus is doing all the work. When we submit and commit, Jesus work through us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he is doing this work. And we got to get to that place that we recognize that it's Jesus, not us. Don't matter how much. I was so happy when a pastor called me from Messenger last night. We talked and we prayed and we sing and we laugh and stuff. And he said, my apostle, please pray for speedy recovery for my dad and for my son. I said, look, God already healing your father. I said, just be patient. Let God do what only God can do. You can't force this thing. This is not a forced thing. When we preach this word, when we teach this word, and when we pray, it's done. Leave it alone. Let God work it out. He's going to work it out. But I want my grandson healed. I want my sister healed. I want my brother delivered. Well, just pray and leave it alone. Say, God, I thank you for healing my brother. God, I thank you for healing my father. God, I thank you for saving my daughter. I thank you for saving my grandsons. I want all my grandsons in Georgia saved. You know, I want them saved. You know why I want them saved? Because all of them got license to carry. And one of my grandsons told me, he said, Grandfather, I'm going to protect my family. He said, I'm going to protect my family. So you know somebody come by his door. He got, my granddaughters are beautiful. I mean, like movie stars. Just gorgeous. Heartbreakers. And somebody come, he going to take them out. So I pray for them to get saved and get the Spirit of God. But I can't force them to be saved. I got to pray for them, and I got to leave it alone and say, God, I know you're working. You're touching my grandchildren, and they all going to come into the working knowledge of and the saving grace of Jesus Christ and leave it alone. But I don't know why. I don't know why it's taking so long. You know, folks, they're saying that stuff. I don't know why it's taking so long to be saved. No, God going to save them on his time. Not on my time. I want them saved yesterday. You know? You want to save yesterday. You want your mama healed yesterday. But God said, no, you got to wait, daughter. Son, you got to wait. Wait, and I'm going to heal them. I'm already working on them. Glory to God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, here's what the word Peter says. We got to finish this because I feel the Holy Spirit moving me around. He says, Peter said, look, if we this day be examined, are you checking us out? Checking out what we've done, what we said? And this man is walking. Man was begging arms at the gate called Beautiful. And Peter and John prayed for him. He might know walking and leaping and praising God. Peter says, not about us. He says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This man is made well. People are being saved, not because of the preacher. Yes, the preacher plays a little part by declaring the word of God, but that the preacher is not the main part. The main part is Jesus Christ. The preacher believing that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. The preacher released that into the heart and mind of the hearer. And the hearer now believed the word that they hear and activated. They took the initial walk or stance to invite Christ in their heart. Peter says, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, you ones that think that you all died in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. You got your degrees and you got your PhDs and you think you're dead. He says, these are the ones that was in the synagogue. They're supposed to be the ones that knew the law. This is who Peter talking to. He says, this is the stone, Jesus, which you set at naught. You didn't even recognize who he was. of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus. But what I like about this text here, that the people saw. The Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, folks don't recognize, because the way you're walking, the way you're talking, the way you're living, your lifestyle indicate that you are truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, that you had an encounter with him. You may not see him in person, but you had a spiritual encounter with him. People can tell because what's flowing out of you speaks for itself. The anointing is flowing through you. In the book of Mark, in the Mark chapter 16, glory to God, Jesus speaks. And he said unto them, go ye into the world, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is what Jesus said. We have to be baptized. We have to believe in Jesus. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture says, he that believeth shall not be ashamed. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. This is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. Glory to God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity now to receive him. Say, Lord Jesus, I heard the scriptures today, I heard the word, and I believe what the word is saying. Today, I believe that you were crucified at Calvary. A hill called Golgotha or the skull, same name. I believe that you were crucified for the sins that I committed. I acknowledge my sin right now, and my sin is ever before me. But I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord Jesus, I know there's no overcoming for me from my sin without you. So today, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents. And I'm inviting you to come into my heart. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. If you just said that prayer, that I believe that the Holy Spirit has given to me, you have just received the gift of salvation. And the scripture says that, as we read in Acts 2 and 38, that when you repent, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a free gift. You can't purchase it. No one can give it to you, not your pastor, not your bishop, not your apostle, not your evangelist, not your teacher, not your deacon, not your elder, not your usher. The only one that can give it to you is the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He gives it to you not because that you're worthy, but because that he is faithful, and because he's loving and he's kind. He blessed us with his Spirit.
so that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. So, if you receive the gift of salvation and you have repented, received the gift of salvation, now we recommend that you get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You say, well, why do I want to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts? Because you want to get a gospel understanding of the Jesus, the Lord, the Savior, that we are speaking about, that we speak about every day here on Blog Talk Radio. You want to get a gospel understanding. The Bible says, try to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you want to study this word because you want to know. You don't just want to hear the word, even though the Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You want to know this thing for yourself, not what somebody tell you. And then you want to call up a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, and say, look, you know, I received the gift of salvation. I'm studying my word. I'm getting to understand my word, but I need to be baptized. And you've got to be specific, because a lot of people baptize the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But the scripture says to be baptized in Jesus' name. See, when Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he was giving them, he was laying down the roadmap to salvation. And they got the understanding in the book of Acts that the roadmap of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus. See, you got to get that. Jesus is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because there's a lot of division that come in the church. Excuse me. There's a lot of division that come in the church through that, through Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I've had the pastors that are very learned, very educated, well learned in the scriptures and even in natural teaching. They have degrees in ministry and have degrees in the natural. But when it comes to this particular subject of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they get out of shape with other preachers. They don't want to talk to you. And you can't tell them. Because they say, well, I was raised up in the Baptist church, and we always believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and this is what I was taught. You can't get them changed in mind. You know what I'm saying? They'll get mad with you. But I'm telling you, once you get the revelation that the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus, your life will jump to another plateau. I tell you no lie. Because I was Father, Son, and Holy Ghost too. I was. Strong too, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But when I got the revelation, my Lord, I can't tell you what took over me. I was excited. Pray this prayer. Lord, forgive me for the times that I didn't understand. And I thank you for giving me a clear understanding now of who you are. And Father, as I go down in the water, in the name of Jesus, I shall come up out of that water with power to serve you. As I invite my friends, my family, my co-workers, and even my enemies, Lord, they will see that I mean business, that my life is changing for the better. And when you come up out of that water, get connected to a pastor, a preacher, or a teacher. Church that is preaching and teaching the true gospel, because a lot of people are watering down the gospel. They're preaching what they want to preach. They want the people to give more, give more, give more. You know, they focus on money. You know, folk, they want you quick, fast, and the number. They give you the Cash App. They give you the Zelle. They give you the all of these numbers they have that you can send money. But they're not concerned about living holy.
They're not concerned with people living holy. They preach the message. They preach the message, but when it comes to salvation, they forget about salvation. They forget about putting a message out there that somebody, when they hear, they say, "Man, you know, I've been living a prostitution life. I've been living a life, a righteous life. I need to change my life." Yeah, I've been going to church every Sunday, and a Wednesday night, and Thursday night, and Friday night, whenever the door opened, but I haven't been living right. And they would repent because they heard your message. This is what we got to focus on. So I thank God for you all that received the gift of salvation today and those that receive at a later date. And I pray that God continue to use this blog talk really to go all over the world and preach to those that are lost and those that need to come on home, those that have backslidden, that will come back home and reseek and rededicate their life to Christ Jesus and begin to live a life that is secure in him. God bless you all, and I open the line now for a minute. If anybody wants to respond, they could. If not, I'm going to pray and close out. God, thank God for you all that came on and heard the word today. God bless. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank God for you all that came on and heard the word today. And we pray God's blessings over your life and over your family's life today. But as we leave this line, but not God's presence, we pray God's blessings over you. God bless you in the city, bless you in the field. Bless you when you come and bless you when you go. Pray that God will continue to make you the head and not your tail. Set you above and not beneath. God, make you the lender and not the boss. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. Have a blessed day, blessed day, blessed day. You all remember, if you get a chance tonight, Deacon Fraser will be on. You can go on and fellowship with him. He's a good man. Love the Lord and love God's people. We love you guys. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Positive.